The Lord bless each and every one tonight, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. And we want to turn to Revelation chapter 12, and I think I maybe preached on this scripture a few weeks ago, and I just want to share it again tonight. And I want to try and just continue on tonight, talking about the blood, chemistry of the blood. We could read verse 10, verse 11 of Revelation chapter 12. And we know that in this book of Revelation, it tells us if you read it, you're blessed. Amen. So we thank God, even if we read from Revelation, we're promised a blessing from the Word of God. Verse 10 of Revelation 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Mm-hmm. Let us pray again for a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that this is a privilege which is ours as the people of God, that we can draw boldly, coming from thy footstool into thy throne room and into thy presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we come tonight pleading the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank you this evening for the potency of the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask that you will wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed, every wrong action. We confess our sins, and we know you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we thank you for the prayers that's been prayed. We say, even do it, Lord. Yes. In Jesus Christ's name. Father, we ask you'll bless your word to their hearts tonight. We pray you'll encourage your own people and strengthen them. And Lord, do them good, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Lord, I take authority over every work of the devil, over every demonic power in this area and over this place, and over all of our homes and over all of our children. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over all that's near and dear to us tonight, and over this very house, and over everyone in this room, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit by faith, and I thank you, you undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Just in case I forget, my brother Sean will be preaching Sunday morning. And pray for me, I'll be preaching in Dublin. Just pray for us that the Lord will help us. I've been fighting a bit of the cold, and I've been catching a healing. I'm not saying I'm catching the cold, I'm catching the healing. I don't want the cold. It's trying to catch me, but I don't want it. Amen. But you know, the weather's not good, but thank God for salvation. You know, I wrote this down tonight. It's not really to do with what I want to preach about, but I read somewhere for somebody had referred to a certain gentleman you've heard probably on the news. I'm not going to say much about it, but he got 6 years in jail, and you can fit the rest all the galley. You'll know who I'm talking about, for a sentence when he should have got a lot more in 6 years. But people have commented, that's Christianity for you, that's a Christian for you. So I was thinking this evening, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? Because so many people say, we're Christians. What is a Christian? And I found this wee bit of a note, what an old preacher from years ago said, what a Christian is. A Christian is any person, no matter what his colour, class or creed may have been, who believes the record God has given of his Son in the Word of God, accepts the verdict of God upon himself as a sinner, confesses he is lost and hell deserving, makes bare his heart and all his sins to God only, asks to be cleansed in the Saviour's precious blood, throwing himself for salvation by faith alone, through grace alone, on Christ alone. The true Christian gladly confesses, I'm only a sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. Amen. I thought that was some statement. Not a very long statement, but a powerful statement. That's a Christian. A man that knows he's lost on his way to hell, and there's only way out and there's only way of escape is the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. So there's a lot today say they're Christians, but they're not Christians. They're not Christians.
Amen.
But there is real Christians. Real Christians don't do them things. Because they're born again, the new creatures. And I'm not saying they won't make mistakes, they will. But the blood of Jesus cleanses. And we're going to see a bit more tonight about the blood. What the blood, and we saw on Sunday night, I talked about the blood on our body. And how many remembers about those wee white soldiers? And when you take sick or you get cut, them soldiers grow in number and they fight in your body to heal you, and they run to your aid in your body. And it's not just like the Holy Spirit and the Lord that he comes to help us, amen. But let me just say this, the blood in our bodies does for us in times of danger and attack. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ does for each and every believer. So just as I explained on Sunday night, those white blood cells, what they do for you in the natural, they run to your aid, they reinforce, they grow stronger, they multiply, they're about 7 million they can reach, and they go to your rescue. So the blood of Jesus Christ does for me and you. And we've read here Revelations, and I know a lot of people say this is a foolish virgin coming out of great tribulation. That might be partly true, but the blood's for all.
Amen.
It's a really stupid statement, you know, people make when they say that's only for the foolish virgin. If the elect never come through the blood, there wouldn't be the elect, for they couldn't be saved.
Amen.
So how foolish is a statement like that that people make?
Amen.
It's foolish. By faith alone, in Christ alone, through the blood of Christ alone.
Amen.
And if they don't come through the blood, they're nobodies.
Right.
They're not the elect. They're nobodies at all. They're lost.
Mm-hmm.
And this blood of Jesus Christ is for all.
Yes.
That we can overcome the enemy. Praise God. Praise God. Satan comes to accuse every true believer. How many of you? We all know that. He does it every day of the week. He comes and nobody will preach a sermon like the devil. He's good at it because he's plenty of practice. He's on the go a long time. The Bible said, warned here, of warned that he's come down having great wrath. And you know that in the Garden of Eden he come down. Not only did he come down in the Garden of Eden, but did he come down to Job as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he come down to Job, but the Bible says he appeared before God with the sons of God. And he accused Job. And God says, I may be considered my servant Job. So that's what he does. He accuses God's people. He wants us to blame God. When things go wrong, he wants you to say it from your mouth, it's God's fault. The devil wants you to do that. That's unbelief. And that's sin. God doesn't want you to do that. God wants you to see that you're in a warfare, you're in a battle, and your enemy's the devil, and we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers seated in high places. And God has given us the weapon to overcome by, that is the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We can overcome the devil. Praise God. He see, points out your shortcomings, your failures, and your sin of the flesh. He says to you, are you truly a believer? Are you saved? The result, we often look at ourselves. We go down in defeat, and he wants you to doubt. He wants you to doubt God's word. How can we overcome the enemy? How shall we meet the affection? There's only one answer. To overcome him by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. You'll not overcome the devil any other way. But I'm guarantee you, when he tempts you, when he tries to, you know, tell you you've done this, you've done that, you plead the blood. And if you have done wrong, ask the Lord to wash you in the blood.
Yes.
A prophet of God said the blood lays there for you. Amen.
Amen.
The blood lays there for you. You see, if you preach a gospel with no blood in it, you can't preach any of these things. There's none of these things you can preach. Because if you do away with the blood, you have no message really at all.
No.
Does away with the message. People talk about, we don't need the blood no more. Well, what are they preaching then? What message have they really? And they don't preach the blood. The Bible says, by the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses a small sin. Not only does the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse a small sin, but it says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a small sin. So we need to walk in the light, then the blood works for us. And God's word is light, for the Bible says it's a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. The psalmist tells us that. If you listen to the enemy, he will convince you you're no good. But when you look at Calvary, don't look at yourself. You look at the Lord. You look at Calvary. How good would you have to be? That's the thing, you see. If you're going to go on how good you are, how good would you have to be? Now I have a wee friend, and you know I like him. He's a Roman Catholic man, and he's a friend of mine. And I try and talk to him when I can, and he asks me questions and all. But you know, you see, he quit the drink for Lent. And we're not even barely a week into it yet, and he's been beaten already. He's failed already. And he didn't have to tell me, I knew I smelled it on him. And he's defeated in less than a week. So you see, his own willpower can't do it. Not even for 6 weeks. Now if it could save you, all the programs and rituals, who could be fit to do it? Well, I could do it. And you see, because you're a believer, you find things easy to do. But I said to my wife this morning, or was it the day before, I said, you see, when you receive Christ, you receive power. Because the Bible says that. Till as many as received him, to them give him power to become the sons of God. And it's only the fact that you've received Christ, you've received the power to be a son of God. And that's why you can overcome them things that other people can't overcome. Because it's the power of the Lord that God's granted to you and me, that's born again in his spirit, that we can overcome. But a man that's never accepted Christ does not have that power. And sin will conquer him. And it will defeat him. And it will domineer him. And it will send him to hell. That's what sin will do. But thank God for the way of escape, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. The blood fights for us. He is the armor of the white cells in the blood, which puts the enemy to flight. The blood of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the first epistle of John. And I won't keep this too long tonight, because I want us to pray. And it's just gone 8:05. First Epistle of John 7. It's chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three agree in one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Amen. Now, verse 7 says they are one, and verse 3 says they agree in one. But I'll tell you one thing, we need the blood, don't we? And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. So it doesn't say they're one. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit are one. But it says the Spirit and the blood agree as one. Isn't that what your Bible says? So when people say, people preach extremely, they preach it extremely, get my point what I'm trying to show you. People go extreme on the Spirit side of the token so much, and they say we don't need chemistry, we don't need a physical blood. It's all the Spirit now. But that's not what the Bible says.
Okay.
Amen.
And that was what the Bible says. The Bible would say they're one. It doesn't say they're one. It says they agree in one.
Amen.
Let's read it again. We'll read the two verses again. Verse 7 and verse 8. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They are one. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth. Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Amen. And we sang that song in one of the services on Sunday. The Spirit answers to the blood. So we need the Spirit and we need the blood.
Amen.
You know, a man can be absolutely saved and never receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know that. If we are real Pentecostals, and I'd like to think we would confess we are. Yes. I am.
Amen.
I believe I am. I know that you would say you are. Well, you know then, after you get saved, genuinely saved,
yes,
you know that the time when you seek God after that for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is separate to salvation.
Yes.
Now, if you died before you received the baptism, you're not lost, because you're in a justified state because of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're not lost. Now, I know a lot of people might agree with that and they preach it wherever way they want. That's fine. But I'm trying to stay with the Bible, what it says. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I know the Spirit moves a man to get him saved. I believe that.
Right.
But you can be saved, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and still not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And you know in the book of Acts, he said to them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?
Amen.
And they said, no, I haven't heard about it. And the Bible says, and laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied.
Amen.
It's not strange that they've done away with all that.
Amen.
But yet with all the book of Acts, it happened all the time.
Amen.
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 And then you know, people made it a standard water baptism on the regeneration. The scripture preach, if you're not baptized in water, you're lost. And they preach you can't receive the Holy Spirit unless you're baptized in water. And I can take you to the book of Acts and show you that.
Yeah.
A group that had received the Holy Spirit and were never baptized in water.
Amen.
So you see, you have to go by the Bible. Now we believe in water baptism.
Yeah.
We believe it's part of the Word of God. How many believes it? Don't we believe Acts 2:38? Certainly we do. But we don't make it something to get saved by.
Right.
You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By faith in Jesus Christ alone you're saved.
Amen.
That's how you're saved. And the Lord doesn't save you to lose you. Amen.
Yes.
Immunity to sin. That's Revelation 12 and the Lamb, what we've read. You overcome them by the blood of the Lamb. That's the thing that gives you the immunity. You ever take someone when you're young and then you're building an immunity against it? Have you ever heard of that? Let me read you that and I'll try and make it more explainable. We've already saw elements of the blood cells, how it stops clotting, fights and factions, but there's another discovery they've made in the blood. That's the antibodies or the antitoxins. We saw how the white blood cells fought infection when it happens, but the antibodies prevent the infections from getting a foothold. They are disease-preventing elements. Without them, we would perish. After a person has had treatment with antibodies, some last for life, as in the case of smallpox, scarlet fever, other diseases, and some are only temporary effective. But the antibodies in this blood help build up immunity so that it will not be attacked by the disease again. This immunity is in the blood. So your blood builds an immunity in it to fight disease.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain things you take when you're a child and you don't ever take them again. We know that. How many knows that? And you think, well, I took it and I won't take it again. But that's because your blood builds a resistance again.
Yes.
Because God made within your body that and your blood. And just like the natural, so is the spiritual. God has given us the blood of the Lamb to give us immunity against these things. The attacks of the devil and all these things. Amen. How many believe it? The blood of Christ. There's a great lesson here. When we apply the blood of Christ even after we are saved. We're still open to attack of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We all too often fall prey to temptation and go down. We must have the characteristic to plead the blood of Christ to guard against repeating. We don't have to keep falling the same faith. How many believe what I'm saying? You know, if you keep doing something, it can be called iniquity. How many knows that? If you're told to do something and you continue not to do it, that's iniquity. How many knows that?
Yeah.
If you're a Christian and someone continually overcomes you, you need deliverance.
Amen.
How many agrees with me tonight?
Amen.
If I could be a Christian and smoke, then because I smoke wouldn't mean I'm not saved. No, I could smoke. Because Spurgeon smoked. And there's nobody going to tell me Spurgeon wasn't a believer. He was a believer, all right. And there's a fellow came from America and stood in his pulpit and he preached against smoking. Spurgeon got into the pulpit when the man finished and he said, I'm going home tonight to enjoy whatever cigar it was or whatever he smoked. And the fellow was took back that Spurgeon would say that. But a week later, Spurgeon was coming down the street and there was a poster of the great C.H. Spurgeon in the window advertising this tobacco that he smoked. And God said to him, Spurgeon, you're an advertisement for the devil.
Yes.
And he never smoked again. God can deliver you from smoking.
Yes.
Stealing. Telling lies. These are all the sinful nature. God can deliver us. And even when we're Christians, we can develop habits we shouldn't have. And if we do, we need to get them to Jesus.
Yes.
And get them under the blood and get rid of them. And get delivered from them. And pray through. So that thing's broken our lives that no more can conquer us. And we build that immunity against it by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
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 I tell you, as many as a thing, when I came to the Lord at the start, I struggled with things. There's lots of things I struggle with. When I could see it, I didn't just go out the next day and have no temptation and all that. I tell you, I have big problems with things and temptations with things. And I just had to go and seek God and pray God would deliver me, and He did. And then I remember one day thinking, that's never bothered me, because the Lord delivered me.
Amen.
But you see, that's what I'm telling you about the power.
Yes.
And about the help from the Holy Spirit and the blood of the Lamb. If you don't have that, you can't do it. Of our own selves, we're not fit to do it. What did you get this here tonight? You see, if we could do it ourselves, we wouldn't need the Lord. But we need the Lord. We need the Lord even as believers. We need the Lord every day. Amen, isn't that right?
Amen.
We need the Lord's help. The difference between the sinner and the saint is the saint hates sin and pleads the blood of Christ, whereas the sinner loves sin and goes back into it. That's the difference. If you're a Christian and you've done something you weren't meant to do, you'd feel guilty, you'd feel bad about it, you wouldn't want to go back and do it again. But the unsaved loves it. He loves sin because he's in darkness. The Bible says he's in darkness. Turn back to chapter 1 of John. First Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So every one of us are sinners saved by grace. Amen.
Amen.
I remember the day our fellow got saved, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying it, but we worked in a bakery. And there was a certain religious man, and I won't say too much about him because I don't think much of him. I'll be honest with you. But he came in the next morning, and he always was a boy with a smart remark or some type of the thing, you know. If not, never encourage you. If you said you were saved, he wouldn't have encouraged you. If he could have got you to go back, he'd have been happier, I think. But he says to Philip, you're not a sinner then no more. Because he said he could see it. And he says, I'm still a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner. And the wee song says that I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Amen. He didn't save the same boy, I can assure you. He might have thought he was saved, but I'd have doubted it. I'll tell you, there's some rascals about, isn't there? And they call themselves Christians. It will do you good to deny your sins, and God wants us to deny and forsake our sins. The Bible talks about forsaking our sins, so we don't go back. And you know, it's hard. Different things can come along in your life to tempt you and get a hold of you, and it's like feeding the two dogs. And that's why we need continually the Word of God preached to us. We need meetings, prayer, reading the Word of God, the fivefold ministry and fellowship with the Lamb of God. We need it continually. All of us need it. Praise God. And thank God it's available. The only hope is confession of sin. And then he sends the army of the white cells of the precious blood of Christ to cleanse you. Not wonderful. Isn't it amazing? True or white? The white cells is the ones, the good ones. Praise God. Amen. Then trust him to keep you from sin. Through the same precious blood, which is in addition to the white cells, fighting and cleansing also contains the antitoxin against further sinning. Don't despair anymore how you feel, but flee to him who shed his precious blood for your salvation and your cleansing. Flee to him. Don't despair, but flee to the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 17. I'm going to just be 5 more minutes and I'm going to close. Acts 17. Book of Acts. I'll tell you, the book of Acts is some book, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 to 26. God that made the world and all things therein, saying that he is Lord and of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped of man's hands, as though he needeth anything, saying that he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bonds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord of happily, they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also as your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are of an offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by harder man's device. And that the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Praise God. So we're all one blood. So you hear people saying, they're different from us, they're a different seed, and this is a different seed. You can't work with that. All have sinned,
yes,
and come short of the glory of God. All men are one blood. That's why we had to have another birth from a sinless life.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ came, a sinless man, a spotless man, a holy man, a real holy man, the Lord. You hear people claiming, holy so and so. No, there's only one holy man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he came, the highest form of life there was, lowered himself a little lower than the angels, condescended. He came down from heaven above, took upon him the form of a man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He gave his life for us so that we could have a blood transfusion by faith and be born again in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb. And it's because of his life that we have life tonight. I'm going to read you from Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus 17. Leviticus is a wonderful book. Chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for your souls. I used to wonder that. I used to ponder that. And I was thinking one day, when God made Adam, there he is on the ground, but he's made, he's a man. Then the Bible says God breathed into them. Now God, when God breathed into them, he must have put the blood in them then. Because he's a full made man, but he's not living. And then it says God breathed into them and he became a living soul. And it's only the life's in the blood. And if the blood goes out, the life goes out. And the life of Jesus Christ, his blood was shed at the cross, and his life put out. And the blood cell broke, and the life of God was released, so it could come back to us believers. And when we apply the token by fear, the blood of the Lamb, that chemistry by fear, the life of that blood can come on us. And they agree in one. Amen. And don't you want the blood coming on you and the Holy Spirit coming on you? Not just coming on you, but filling you, baptizing you. Praise God with the Holy Ghost. Because of original sin, man's blood's corrupted. And you can read 1 Corinthians 15:22 and Hebrews 9:22 and Hebrews 9:22. We all should know it. Hebrews 9:22 said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Now how can a man say we don't need the message of the blood if the Bible says without the shedding of blood, amen, there's no remission of sins? And the Leviticus says, life's in the blood. Yes. And I have given it for you upon the altar. Yes. And that's the natural and the type of the lamb and the bullock when it covered sin for a season. But the blood of Jesus Christ divorces us from that sin. Understand what I'm saying? The penalty of death was on me and you. That's the curse and the penalty of original sin. Every one of us had that upon us. But Jesus took it at the cross. He took that at the cross, the penalty of original sin, which was death, that was pronounced on every man and woman. We were born to die. Did you know that? Man that's born of a woman is a few days. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I have shed it for you upon the altar, so that we could have life. And thank God that life tonight's eternal life. You could read all these scriptures, Genesis 3 verse 14 15, Isaiah 53 and 10. And Isaiah 53 and 10 is all of it. Christ is wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. All we the sheep have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. For the Lord hath laid upon him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. So you see, he took it. He took the punishment that was due me and you. Jesus took it. And by simply accepting him and believing him and acknowledging that we're lost and on our way to hell, we can be saved. And thank God. Can you see why it's the precious blood of the Lamb? It's precious, all right. Jesus Christ is a true seed that stood in Satan's head. Genesis, and when you read Genesis 3, 14, 15, it talks about the seed of the woman bruising the head of the serpent. And you know that's a prophecy. The seed of the woman in Genesis 3, 14, 15 is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. Every Bible scholar knows that. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that. He was a fulfillment of that prophecy. He bruised the serpent's head at Calvary. He stood on him. He bruised his head at the cross. And he bruised his heel. That's the word of God. Thank God for it. From Genesis to Revelations, we have this message. Atoning blood, we see it. In rituals, lambs, goats, and all types of a perfect lamb which was to come, Jesus Christ. God's perfect lamb. And it was God's perfect lamb that came, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's perfect lamb. The blood of bulls and goats and lambs could not atone for sin, but merely pointed forward to one that would come to the end that age. The pointing to someone. This Old Testament points forward to Calvary. And this New Testament points you back to Calvary. That's the truth. It's all about the cross. Praise God. And there's many other scriptures here, but we haven't time. Hebrews 10, Galatians 4. But I don't want to go on too long tonight. But I hope you're encouraged tonight. I want to encourage you that the devil's a liar and you're the children of God, and the Lord shed his blood for you and he's given it for you as a weapon, and you can overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Resist the devil and he shall flee.
Yes,
how do I do it? Submit yourself to God. You see the key? How do I resist the devil? By submitting to God. Now when you submit to God, everything will be right. Because as soon as you go in prayer and submit yourself to God, what's the first thing you do? You get yourself cleaned up. You don't come into God's presence with your chest out and say, "We're the tiny God, I'm some fella." You can't do it like that. It doesn't work like that. You know the story Brother Branham told about the young fella that went up to preach once. And he said the young fella went up to preach and he went up in front of the congregation with his chest out. And he said he got up there and he had great big words. And he gave these great big words out to the people, but they couldn't receive it. It was over their heads. When he finished the sermon, he put his head down. And he came down to his chair with his head down, disappointed. And an old fella plugged his coat when he was coming past. He says, "Son, if you had one up the way you come down, you would have come down the way you went up." Amen. And we need to come humble. We don't come to God and say, "Lord, look what I can do." We come to God and say, "Lord, I need you.
Amen.
I need your help." Even some of the brothers are praying and that at the start. We need you, Lord. Isn't it true? We need you, Lord. We need the Lord's help. You need it. I need it. I want to pray for you. I want you to pray for me. We need the Lord's help each day. We need the Lord's help. We'd fail in a moment if it wasn't for the Lord. But thank God he's promised to be with us. Thank God he's promised the power of the blood and these white cells, as it were, to overcome by. Let's come and let's pray the night and seek God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank you that your blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. I do believe, I will believe, that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he was crucified from sin to set me free. Father, we would ask for your help tonight. We would pray that you would cover us with the blood of the Lamb. Bless every brother and every sister in this room tonight. Meet the need of every brother and every sister in this room tonight. We ask especially for our loved ones, sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, husbands and wives, and all that's on our hearts this evening. Lord, it's still outside of your kingdom, even that we man that is mentioned. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll grant them deciding grace. We pray, Lord Jesus, that your precious blood will be upon them. We plead the blood of Christ over them. We're asking for mercy for them. We're praying that you'll bring them, by your Spirit, you'll move them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth, to come in childlike faith and accept you as the Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for true Christianity tonight. Yes. Believing in Jesus Christ. Acknowledging that we can't do it, but you can, and you did. And you took our place, and you stood in our room, and you stood in our stead. And then the word said, "We which were not a people are now the people of God." We thank you tonight, Lord, that we're the people of God because we've come by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. Father, we plead that blood again upon our brother Keith, upon our sister Eileen, upon Matthew, and upon Timothy tonight. We plead the precious blood of the Lamb. We ask, Lord Jesus, that they may know the facts and the power of that precious blood tonight. We pray in the life for that blood, the Holy Ghost will quicken it to them, Lord. And oh, Lord, that you'll raise them up and strengthen them and heal them and deliver them. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Father, we acknowledge you in all our ways. We pray that you'll direct our paths.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the food on our table, for the clothes upon our backs.
Yes,
we all we have to you, for you hold the very breath we breathe. You own the cattle on a thousand hills, all the silver and gold's yours, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. We say, Lord, you're able to furnish a table in the wilderness. We say that you're God Almighty, and there's none other besides you that can save and deliver after this kind. For you're the Lord Almighty, and we worship and praise you tonight. We thank you for the day and hour you saved us and delivered us, each one in this room this evening. Father, we pray you'll preserve us, that you'll keep us immune to that of the enemy, that the blood will rush in like the white sails and fight that fight for us, we pray, as we apply that blood tonight. Lord, your prophet preached a message and he said, apply the token. And we know the token was given to Moses. And they applied it upon the doorposts and upon the lintels. And when the death angel passed over, he couldn't touch none that was under the token. We thank you for the token tonight. And we thank you to never lose its power. Lord Jesus, we just bless you and praise you now. And ask you'll help us to pray this evening and to seek your face. Bless your brother John, if thou wast tarry to this Sunday. Bless him and anoint him. Bless your people. Help us, Lord, for the meetings in Dublin. Just have your way. And may hearts be touched and lives changed. And men and women brought closer to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask all these blessings. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Just let's continue to pray and seek the Lord tonight. Praise God.